to heal is to be aware. And to constantly be aware
is work. I mean, some people actually don't feel like they need to heal from anything.
Being who you are is the most natural thing to you. What usually stops it is that you're trying to not be that. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
The question is, do you feel like, as you've gone into this adulting journey, as you've become an adult, do you feel like you need to heal?
I say yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like I made it to adulting and didn't need to do some healing?
I mean, some people actually don't feel like they need to heal from anything.
I'd love to meet those individuals.
I met some. They're great. They need healing, but all right, I do also feel like I need to heal. I've been working on my healing. Do y'all feel like you have you guys actually started on your healing journey?
Yeah, it feels like it, but it don't stop
the healing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you thought you was gonna start and then it was gone.
I get to a certain point and I'm good.
Good forever. What about you?
Yeah, no, I definitely started. Similar to him, I was gonna say. It doesn't stop, but it just evolves into different forms of healing. So you may have healed one aspect of your life and realize that another aspect is drastically in need of some first aid. And yeah, I just didn't realize it, so I'll be working on, I don't know, it might be confidence in one aspect, and then I'll be working on just communication in another aspect, or whatever it is, like just healing all parts of
everything.
Yeah, but it's like one, as you start healing one part, you start seeing other doors for other opportunities for you to heal in other spaces. So it'd be like, yo, I didn't ask for this, but I asked for this, but I didn't ask for all of this.
Not this. I feel that. I feel like for me, so yeah, I started on my healing journey. I think that, yeah, it started to open up more doors for things. At some point, I don't know that I always knew that like healing was a thing. Like when I was younger, I think I just thought that adults just were adults. That's just how they were. And I didn't know that so I guess I was the person. I didn't know that healing was an option. I just thought either you were super, like you was the spiritual friend, or you was just everybody else. I don't think I knew that it was an option. So, but I do feel like I agree that it does open up other doors. For you to see, like, okay, I didn't heal from this, I didn't heal from this, and it is an ongoing thing, and I don't know if once I started my healing journey, if I saw a stopping point, because I was just like, I just don't want to go backwards, so I'm just constantly working on moving forward and healing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, at first it was fun. like it's just fun, something new, exciting, learning about myself, seeing things. But to heal is to be aware, and to constantly be aware
is work.
It's a lot. And I was also thinking about earlier, I was thinking about this, is actually what I'm working on now. I spent so much time hiding that I don't even remember the second half. I spent so much time hiding. Basically, I spent so much time hiding that it's uncomfortable being me. That's what I said.
It's uncomfortable being you.
So it's like, I was me the entire time, but it's certain versions of me or certain aspects of me at certain times. So nobody ever saw
the full
me in totality.
Yeah.
So it's like I've been masking for so long that it's a journey to actually be myself.
I feel like that kind of goes back to, like, one of the older episodes that we had when it was talking about, when we were talking about, does anybody really know who each other is? Like, does anybody really know anybody? Because, you show up as different people in different rooms, or you show, like, different aspects of your personality. And, I think working toward being able and comfortable with showing up as your full self in every room is not easy, but it definitely takes time, because I think life is not only just the constant cycle of you healing, it's also a constant cycle of you learning yourself, because as you evolve as a person, it's like, yeah, as you evolve as a person, you still have to re-meet this person, whether it be on a daily basis or on a monthly basis, whatever it is, you still are going through a process of meeting yourself every single time. And I think that, I think the healing helps, because I think if you don't heal, then you might not even be aware that you have the potential to evolve in this moment, or that you've changed, or you're, I know for me, I used to be so stuck on being the same person. Because, you know, people be like, yeah, never change. And it's like, that's like the worst advice you could give somebody. Because we're supposed to change. We're supposed to evolve. We are supposed to grow as humans. So to tell me not to change, and I'm thinking like that's the norm. I'm supposed to not change. I'm supposed to still be this person always and forever. And it's like, different situations happen. You're exposed to different things in life, and it just doesn't. It doesn't help. It kept, I feel like it kept me from wanting to heal at first or evolve as a human being.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to Breeze's point about wearing a mask, for me, it's not that it's uncomfortable being myself. It's more so that it's that I feel, I guess, out of practice. Mm-hmm. Or not even out of practice. It's me. Yeah, maybe it's out of practice. That's probably the best way to say it. Because one of the things that I've learned is being who you are is the most natural thing to you. What usually stops it is that you're trying to not be that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just a matter of, which is funny because people will say it, but it's a matter of just stop doing that. But you've built up a habit of doing it consistently. So it's almost like you're always forcing yourself to let off the reins or whatever, like,
mm-hmm.
just let the car do what it's gonna do, let yourself do what it's gonna do naturally. But it's hard because just habits, like, we've developed like severe habits of adjusting
mm-hmm.
in rooms, you know, like not even being comfortable enough just in any room. For real, like, just going in. I know for myself, there were certain rooms that I would go into and I would feel just a tightness in my body. I didn't even know I felt it until more recently. And when I started actually paying attention, and I'm like, wow, I didn't feel this until I left and came back. And now I'm paying attention to how I'm feeling. So just, I think it's it's one of the most natural things you can do. But the part is just to take away all of the habits that you've had that block you from just acting naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that even in that, when you go into different rooms, sometimes it just be feeling like, I don't know, when you're not showing up as your whole self, you start to also feel like, I'm not supposed to be in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of us feel that often, and it's like, if you weren't supposed to be in this room, you literally wouldn't be in this room.
Mm.
But I think that a lot of times us just not being our full selves, or not being accepting of who we are. Because sometimes that's the thing. It's like, I am this person or whatever. Like, that I'm the artsy friend. I'm not. I am a little bit, but I'm not. And it's like, if I'm not accepting of the fact that I'm the artsy friend and I keep wanting to show up as the funny friend and I'm not that funny, then it's like, then it becomes a thing of, you start feeling uncomfortable because you feel like you shouldn't be here because, okay, maybe nobody's getting my humor. And it's like you didn't show up as yourself. You showed up as a representative. And then I think it kind of hinders you from in the next moment being more comfortable, because every moment you get more and more comfortable in showing up as who you are unapologetically. And the healing process is a part of that.
Yeah, I got a question. When did you guys first start healing? I know for me, if I can put a marker on it, it was when I first got out of college.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I really started. And for me, it started with just reading some books. Like, some of the books started kind of changing my mindset. And I didn't realize I was healing, but that's what that time was. It was me reading and looking at things differently and maybe being like, you know, I know I thought this before, but maybe I should pay attention to my thoughts a little bit, you know? So I was just curious, when did you guys feel like you first started healing?
You go first.
I would say I had the realization in 2019 first, but I didn't take any action until 2020.
Oh. In my brain, I process that as like a 4-year gap. That was not a 4-year gap. It was the next year.
It was 4 years ago.
4 12-week years.
So how did yours start? Like, what did you start with? Was it reading? Was it like?
Mine started with me becoming single and getting my own place. That's where it started.
That'll do it. For me, so I want to say my thought process is that it started in 2019 when I started my self-love journey. But you actually gave me, you sent me As a Man Thinketh. I don't know if it was the year before. It had to be, I think it was the year before, because I think I was still working at TD. Yeah, you sent me that, and I think that actually started my healing journey, but I didn't know it.
Mm.
I think it was that book and The Alchemist.
Yeah, those two for me.
And Shiraz gave me another book that I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me. It was such a good book, but that was like the first, just like novel that I had read, casually. Because in college I was just reading for my class stuff, but it was like the first novel that I read in a while, and it kind of just kick-started my love for reading again. So between As a Man Thinketh, The Alchemist, I think in 2018 I actually technically started, like, those were the seeds that were planted that just started like opening my mind. And then in 2019 is when I actually, same thing, started taking action. And I came across King Ashley Ann on Instagram. She was sharing like business stuff, and I had just started Crafts by Co. I was looking and figuring out business stuff, but she was the first person that I heard talk about mindset and how literally it just affects every part of your life. So then that's what actually opened my mind even more to be like, okay, so what am I actually thinking? Like, what do my thoughts look and feel like? And just went from there.
I was gonna say, what was the first lesson you guys feel like you took from your healing journey? I can give you mine.
Go ahead.
That's why y'all waiting. I realized that my life was my fault. That was probably the biggest thing. There was stuff that I thought was out of my control, and then even me realizing I could, all right, there are things that are out of my control, yes, but how I react to it is always in my control. So there's always an element of something that's in my control, and I didn't realize how much of it was my fault. And I was like, wow, okay, this was a lot to take in. And then, and I ended up reading more. So what was the first lesson y'all learned?
I would say, I think that the first lesson that I learned was, I guess, like, your thoughts and your words have more power than you realize. So it's something that I already knew, but I realized how negative of a person I was, like my outlook on life and stuff like that, or how negative it had become, because I wasn't always like that. So I think that the first lesson that I really learned is to like actually pay attention to your thoughts. Yeah, I learned that from As a Man Thinketh, because they always talk about in the Bible, and I don't know why this verse always gets jumbled up in my head, but life and death is in the power of the tongue. Oh, I said it right this time. I always heard it said all my life, but I had never seen it put into action. Like, I've seen it in, as far as like writing, maybe, but I hadn't seen people actually value the words that were coming out of their mouths.
Do you understand the words that were coming out of my mouth?
But yeah, like legit, I hadn't seen people. It's like, okay, you say this verse to me, but then you just say whatever, and it's just normalized. And it's just like, it's very conflicting, because why you keep saying this verse to me and you don't even be like paying attention to what you're saying? But I think with that, I started to actually realize what the power was. I think I knew that there was power. I didn't know what the power actually was. So then I kind of started learning about like manifestation and just same thing, like your life choices, like the words you say, the thoughts that you think, they have a way of shaping what your life looks like. It's like how your inner world shapes what your outer world looks like. And so I think that that was more so the first lesson that I got. What about you?
The first lesson that I got was, I feel like it might be similar to Damani's, but it is, or it was, nobody's going to save you.
Oh my gosh.
So like, people will help you, people will assist you, people will put you in position, but nobody is coming to save you.
It's so wild, because before you moved out, when we were still living back home, before you moved out, before you went to work, yeah, when you were working at Nordstrom.
Somebody save me.
Yeah, you used to always sing every day.
I don't have to go to work. They about to drive me crazy. Yeah. So like
That's crazy. Look at how life lines you up,
right,
man.
Right, like he would sing that every day on his way out to go to work while he was getting ready for work and stuff like that. And
I forgot all about that.
And then you start on your healing journey and everything changed. You was like, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to save you. Then why was we singing the song then? Who's coming then?
I was led astray. I didn't know any better.
So you are not a damsel in distress. Nobody is coming.
So that's just so funny that you said that that's the first lesson that you learned, because you used to sing that song
every day.
And it's wild because you sing that song and then realize ain't nobody coming. Ain't nobody coming, y'all. That's wild. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah, I just had to say that because
I couldn't make that up if I wanted to.
I got another question too. Mm-hmm. What's the? I got two. I'm gonna save one of them for later. But the first one I'm gonna ask is, what was the toughest lesson that you learned on your healing journey, or the one that you had the most resistance towards? The one that I'm thinking of off my head, I'll go. Mm-hmm. I'll go first since we're here. Was that how you do anything is how you do everything. I used to really despise when people said that until I got it. Like, until I really got it. So I was like, nah, bro, the things I love, I do with everything I got. The things I don't love, I don't do. Like, what are you talking about? And then I started looking at all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay, all right, I see. And then I started looking at, even when I'm doing some of the things that I love, I'm starting to see where I would stop short, or where I would just not do my best, or let resistance stop me, whatever the case may be. So that lesson, for whatever reason, it was such a difficult one for me to hold on to and really accept. I'm like, I don't like that. Nah, that's not true. Cat, they lying to you. I don't care what they said. They lied. How you do the things that you love is how you do. And it's like, nah, that's how you do everything.
Yeah. You got one?
Yeah. I believe I'm in the process of learning that lesson now, I feel like it's a two-parter, but they work hand in hand. So the first part is slowing down. Because, like, me personally, I be wanting things to happen now, immediate results. Forget about a delayed gratification. I need that gratification now. So actually being okay with slowing down and knowing things take time, and letting things take the time that they need to, the word that's coming in my mind is germinate, or to grow and
come on, just germination.
Prosper. And the other one is definiteness of purpose. So doing what I say I'm going to do, regardless of what anybody else says or what anybody else thinks or what this process looks like. Just letting things play out like they're supposed to, because everything is a journey, everything is a process. My perspective determines what I get from this process.
Whew. All right. I got two. I think one I'm still, okay, both of them I'm still, I guess, processing. So the first one, I'll do this one first because I learned this one first. When I first started therapy, I basically found out that I'd be, exuding toxic positivity. And so it connects to the fact that I realized that I have sometimes when I'm go into problem solve mode, or I go into a mode to correct things or do certain things, I have an extreme way of doing it. So I had an extremely negative point of view at one point. So I worked to get an extremely positive viewpoint at one point. And I'm still realizing that I'm learning to balance the two. So, like, toxic thinking in general, of course, is not good. But so toxic negativity, I mean, I don't even know if that's a thing, but negativity is pretty toxic. So that's just like constant, like, negative thoughts, pessimism, blah, blah, blah. Toxic positivity is like, I guess, like being overly positive, so much so that you're dismissive of any negative feelings and stuff like that. So you don't necessarily process like the anger or the sadness or anything like that. You just kind of switch over to the positive and happy. And I realized that was a part of me suppressing my feelings. And so I'm still, I guess, learning to do that, because I'm learning to make sure I'm processing my emotions in real time. So that was one of the hardest things that I learned first. What were you about to say?
I can't remember. You can keep going.
All right. Any questions, class? Mm-mm. All right. That was one of the hardest things that I had to learn, because I was just like, what do you mean? Number one, I didn't know toxic positivity was a thing. Number two, I'm like, I thought we were supposed to be positive. I don't want to think about any of the negative things. I don't want to deal with that stuff. I just want to focus on the happy things, because those are the things that make me happy so that we can live life and be abundant. But I realized later that it's good to use both sets of emotions. Like, you can allow your emotions to guide you in certain places. Like, some people say, like, to let your anger guide you. You can use it as a guide to kind of see what you want to heal from, or certain things that you want to, that you're supposed to be learning, or what are you supposed to get out of this situation, even though it's not ideal. What was you going to ask?
It wasn't even going to be a question. I was going to say, when you were talking about toxic positivity and just the idea of you, like, going to the extreme, that's actually a thing that a lot of people do. So when you, I forget this, there's a term for it. I can't remember what it's called, but
toxic positivity.
No, almost, but nah, it's not, because it's not just about positivity. It's like whenever you do something that you feel, let's say you do something that you don't feel proud of for yourself, right? Let's say you've been binge watching TV, and you're upset at the fact that you binge watching TV. So what you do to try and compensate for that fact is that you're like, I'm never gonna watch TV again, which doesn't help anything, and is an extreme shift. So in terms of, like, living in the extremes, a lot of us do that with stuff.
I be doing that.
Yeah, right. Which is actually a counterproductive. There's a term for it. It's counterproductive because it's almost like the punishment. The punishment enough is that you didn't do that. You don't feel good about yourself, so you're punishing yourself twice for the fact that I didn't do the thing that I was supposed to do, and now I'm gonna punish myself so that I really don't want to do the thing that I felt I had an impulse to do. So when I learned that, I was like, dang, that's been me my whole life. It's been trying to count, because you're trying to counterbalance the negative with a positive, which is like, that's not how it's gonna work out for you.
And I also, okay, so two things. I'm trying to pause for a second so that I can get the thoughts in order, because I had two thoughts. So number one, I used to do that with alcohol, because when I was younger, I was like, I'm never gonna drink alcohol because alcoholism runs in the family. So I was like, I'm not going to drink alcohol. We got to college, I was drinking alcohol, and we was drinking way too much. So then every time I'll be like, I'm never drinking again. Then next weekend come around and I'm drinking again. Mm-hmm. And it didn't help me at all. But I also realized, and this was more recent, that I realized that, like, I don't have to be punished for making, like, mistakes or whatever. Like, I can correct the behavior without there being some extreme punishment for me to have to go through. Or I can even like, the idea of, like, working for your supper type of thing is, like, I have to work hard for whatever I get or it doesn't count. And I realized that was a lot of things in my life. Like, that's how I looked at a lot of things in my life. It's, like, if I didn't work hard, not in just like a regular I don't even know what regular hard work is, but just like, if I didn't work hard enough to my standard that I feel like I should have done this at, then it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't count. Like, yeah, maybe I'll celebrate for 2 seconds, but it didn't count as a real win in my mind. And I had to kind of tell myself, like, that number one, that's dumb. Like, because sometimes I had to really just talk to myself. Sometimes God just want to give me stuff. So that don't mean I have to work for it. That just means that God gave me this thing, and that's okay. Maybe I paid for it. Maybe I earned it in another way because I did all the things I wanted to do this week. And then, you know, it's just like thinking about it like that. So then when we talk about the extremes, the thought process was, I have to either work really hard for this thing, or I have to completely reverse what I was doing. So let me just go ahead and go to the opposite end of whatever I was just doing. Or for me, it was like the mindset. So I went from being very pessimistic to being extremely optimistic. And I'm going to say it worked out well for me to a certain extent. Because then you get to the next level of, like, your healing journey. You realize, oh, I just didn't acknowledge any of the actual emotions of what I was feeling. And then you get into, then I found out I was a people pleaser, and I'm like, oh, well, that goes with the negative and the positive mindset that I had, because I've been doing this all my life. So that was the first one. And then the second one that I'm still working on, that has been very, very difficult, has been something that Damani always says: when do we ever get it right on the first try?
Yeah.
Because it's not even that I begin stuff wrong. It's that, well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I just get it wrong. But a lot of times it's that I want it to be absolutely perfect on the first try. And it's not always like that. Sometimes it's close. Sometimes it's good. But sometimes you just gotta do it again. Like, And that's okay. So learning that everything doesn't have to necessarily be perfect, but also that it's okay to try again.
Yeah. And to me, this is just a personal thing.
Wait, not try again. Hold on. Because we already had an episode about trying. We said trying is a sorry excuse for not doing stuff, okay? It's okay to have a second attempt. Yeah.
Or to just do it again.
Okay, it's okay to do it again. It's okay to do it again. That works. That, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
To me, it's always, when I think about, like, it's okay, when I give myself permission to not get it right on the first try, that just means that I have more opportunities to do this. So like, if I get it perfect on the, if I get everything perfect on the first attempt, there's no reason for me to go back and do it again for me. Right. It's just like, cause now it's like everything I'm doing, it's like, all right, cool. I just do everything one time. And it's like, what's the point in doing it again? If I get it perfect every single time I go up, like if there's no point in improving, I like improving. That's just me. So like if you get it perfect on the first try, there's no way for you to get it better. So that's just how I've always processed it.
I never looked at it like mm-hmm. that. I was like, if I get it perfect on the first try, these people will be proud of me.
And that goes into the
people pleasing.
Yeah. It's all a big thing, but that's something that you learn from your healing and mm-hmm. the idea of like whether it's working hard for your stuff or like, all right, if I didn't work to this degree, I'm not gonna, it doesn't count, that kind of thing. This is why I said, is like when I understood that, oh, like, all right, you not getting the thing that you wanted or you making the mistake, like that's enough of a punishment by itself. Mm-hmm. You don't gotta come back and be like, see, you never get it right. And it's like, hold on,
Not with that attitude.
I was about to say, now on top of the fact that you already feel bad for not getting it right, you're making yourself feel bad for not getting it right. And now you're like, all right, I'm going to just make this, next time I'm going to make sure I do X, Y, and Z or do something that's the complete opposite. And like, to me, it's like, it feels, it's so much stuff that's just not necessary. Like, the lesson is already there in the misstep. The whatever the misstep is.
But it's not even that I was looking for the lesson. Were you about to say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think I was actually looking for a lesson, and that's why I was like feeling like I had to do more or there was something that some type of punishment or I need to work harder for whatever. Because it's not like I was looking for the lesson. I was just like, I missed the mark.
Mm.
So when you look at it from the perspective of, okay, I just missed the mark and there was nothing to be, well, I didn't think about a lesson, so I guess there was nothing to be learned from this besides I'm a failure. Then it's like, that's real depressing. That's a real depressing thought process. Ooh. Okay, go ahead and say what you was going to say. That just kind of, I don't even know what I was going to say before that, but yeah.
I was just going to say about working harder.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, it'd be feeling like I'd be having to recreate the will. Or, but yeah, I'm gonna say that recreate the will. But the people who did what I want to do or did what I'm doing before me, they did what they did, so I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's my job to pick up where they left off. Mm-hmm. It's not my job to start where they started.
Oh, ooh.
It's like
that's a word.
So it just in working hard, we just be working. It'd be like busy work. Because like the answer is like it's a blueprint here, but now I want to recreate the blueprint. So I could say I was the first person to do this.
I need my own blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But yeah, that's all I got.
This blueprint was passed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. If you don't take that thing.
Yeah, because it's a profound waste of time, really, realistically. And again, you don't know that until you kind of go through your healing
mm-hmm.
and you understand it. But because I've been a victim of that same thing. And I'm not even going to say I haven't been a victim, but I've fallen into that habit as well. And like, just in my mind, I'm thinking about like somebody already invented this wheel. Right. Why on earth am I like, you know what? I think I can make this wheel better. And it's like, I mean, you might be able to. And it's like, it's not even like I can make this wheel better. It's like, nah, I'm gonna start from the beginning. So it's like, y'all started making a wheel with these three tools. I'm gonna go back and use these three tools as well. Bro, we are so far removed from where they started. Just continue. So that's right. I really like that. That thought process. I had another question as well, but yeah, you was about to say something?
I was just going to say real quick, so that's another thing that I had to learn
mm-hmm.
during
mm-hmm.
this journey, that I don't have to create, I don't have to be the first to do anything, I don't have to recreate anything, I don't got to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put my magic sauce on whatever it is that I'm doing
yeah.
and go from there.
Yeah, that made me think of it was a saying that I liked and that I was, that I'm gonna, that I try to live by, I guess. But it's like, in life, you can either be the first, the best, or different.
Mm.
And it, depending on what you're doing, depending on whatever field you're going on, it's like you kind of have to choose what you want to do. And I think some people, there's some overlap. So some people do things like they're the best because maybe some people are the best because they were the first, or mm-hmm. some people aren't. Sometimes the first person to do something isn't the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like you kind of have to pick where you want to reside. Right now, how I'm going, right now how I'm approaching it is I'd much rather be different than to be the first all the time, because I was aiming to be the first and the best and be different. I was aiming to be all three. But
unicorn.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, we gotta do it. You know, we gotta, it's three options. Let's just take all of them. But now it's like, nah, like, pick what you naturally lean towards out of those three, and then you may end up being the best just by the nature of you being different because you're being yourself. But when you're trying to be everything, it doesn't usually work.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I've experienced. But the other question I had was going to be, what was the favorite thing you've learned from your healing journey? I can go first again if you'd like, because I know it off the top.
I could go first.
Okay.
Oh, I have another hard thing.
Okay, go for it, Dan.
But it's going to lead into my...
Your favorite?
Yeah. Okay, so my other hard thing, it pertains to food. One of the hardest things was changing my relationship with food and realizing that I don't have to, I guess, maintain the same eating habits, or I don't got to do the same things that I was doing before that my parents were doing when it comes to food. But when it, so when little bit of that, little bit of that. So one of my favorite things has been, I don't gotta finish this if it's nasty. Okay? I could throw this away. I don't, because you know, nobody gets a reward for suffering in silence. Mm-hmm. That's what you told me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't have to sit here if I don't like this food. Right? And I don't have to eat this thing because everybody else is eating this thing. I can throw it away. And that's one of the, that's one of the, my mm-hmm. favorite things that I learned on my healing journey, because I used to feel so guilty or feel like I would get in trouble for throwing out food or whatever. Not always that it was nasty. My parents know how to cook for real, for real. But sometimes I got too much food on my plate, okay? My eyes was bigger than my stomach. I couldn't finish this. And we wasn't staying, okay? So, you know, I would have to flip the plate over in the trash can so that it don't look like it's some food still left on this plate. Yeah, then you gotta smush it.
Put a napkin on top. Mm-hmm.
Crumple up the napkin so it don't look like I just laid it on there. I gotta crumple it, look like I used the napkin.
I used to always have an irrational fear that somebody was gonna come after it and be like, who did this?
I've had that happen.
Who put this plate in hand like this? I know what you did.
I had that happen, and they knew it was me.
Trying to hide the fact you threw out this food.
They knew it was me.
It's $45 worth of.
They didn't tell me the price, but they was upset. But, I mean, it wasn't that good. Anyways, but yeah, I think because my relationship with food has changed so much, and I love food in general. I've always loved food, but because my relationship with food has changed so much, I don't feel obligated to hold on to things that are not serving me. So if I don't feel like this tastes good, maybe I'll eat it, maybe I won't. Or if I just like, I know I'm not gonna finish this, I'm not gonna eat this thing, I, as the adult in the situation, do not have to force myself to finish this thing that I don't want. And I think that's one of my favorite things. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. I mean, this is your favorite.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things that I learned on my healing journey. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a freeing moment.
Word. Did you want me to go, or you got one?
Yeah, you can go.
Yeah, the favorite thing, which is kind of like a two-parter, but my favorite thing about my healing journey was, or my favorite lesson that I learned from my healing journey was that there are no mistakes. It's just things that you didn't intend to do. And when I started approaching it like that, I'm like, okay, this wasn't a mistake. It's just I didn't intend to do this. And it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means I have an opportunity to make it right, make it work.
Or make it different.
Yeah. And so that one was so fun because it took so much pressure off stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, there was so much pressure for me to do stuff the right way, the perfect way, just the exact way. And it's like, nah, there's no mistakes. Whether it's, in anything. Like, there's just things that you didn't intend to do. And it's like, me really understanding that was like, yo, that's fire. Like, there's so many things that, like, people have done where people would be like, well, how did you get to that point? It was like, well, you know, actually, that happened by accident. I didn't mean to spill the milk and then it happened to make a design on the, you know, on the shirt. But, you know. The
shirt is wild.
Yeah, and now you're like, hold on, this is my thing now. Like, people like this. It's artsy. So, there's really no mistakes. And that was one of my favorite lessons. And I was saying it's kind of like a two-parter because it kind of tied into, it showed me like how much power it is in like being you and acting as if you're not making mistakes. Acknowledging when you're like, you did something that you don't approve of. Yeah, but like not looking at you doing something as a mistake, as it's like, I didn't intend for it to have that outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my favorite thing.
Yeah, so mine would be knowing that I don't lack anything. Mm. I have everything I need and I'm more than enough.
Mm.
That was one sentence with two commas.
Okay. Yeah, that was three things.
Mm-hmm.
That was three. Mm-hmm. I don't lack nothing. What was the second one?
I have everything I need.
I have everything I need. I guess that's a two-parter. That's okay. I'm more than enough.
One and a half.
I lack nothing because I have
everything I need. And I'm
so,
more than enough. Oh,
yeah,
so.
And.
Oh.
And or so.
I'm more than enough. Yep. Now I got a second one because y'all's was real more. Y'all's was more serious.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I feel like I should be a little serious too. Mine was serious, but my other one. Wait, did you want to go more in depth on yours? No, it didn't seem like it. It seemed like you were done.
I got a less serious one as well.
All right, let me do my serious one so I can fit in.
she doesn't want to be different. She got to be the first or the best.
One thing that, one of my favorite things that I learned was that I'm not here to be perfect. I'm here to be me.
She might be going for the best.
I'm here to be me. And I realized that, and I keep repeating it often because I focused on perfection for so long. And, like, I focused on being the best and making sure I get things perfect on the first try. And even though that, you know, now that looking back, I haven't really done that much.
I have a question about that.
I'm trying to figure out when anybody does. Go ahead.
If you're a people pleaser, are you ever able to be the best
at people pleasing?
Yeah.
Okay, so
but like at the things that you actually want to do, because as a people pleaser, if you don't want to ruffle any feathers, make anybody feel uncomfortable or upset, are you able to? This not like directed to you. This is just a question I had based off of.
So in theory. No, right? Okay. It's a two-part thing. So I think in some ways, yes, you can be the best at what you feel like other people want you to be the best at.
Gotcha.
But in other ways, no. Because if those things aren't the same things that you want to be the best at, then you're going to focus on doing those other things and not doing what you actually want to do, which will hinder you from being the best at what you actually care about in life. So for me, with the people pleasing, I feel like it hindered me a lot.
Word, me too.
Me three.
Yeah. I'd probably be a scientist. No, I wouldn't be a scientist.
I feel, because, like, I focus so much on, like, what I felt like, well, number one, socially acceptable things, what my parents would want me to focus on, our parents, and just, like, I didn't focus on what I wanted. So even going all the way back to the, like, just the simplistic idea of, like, I don't know what I want, that was very eye-opening for me. And not even just that I don't know, I have a hard time sitting down and focusing on and thinking about what I want, because then I start feeling guilty, because my life has been so much about what other people want, not what I want. So then you focus on, all right, I'm going to be the best at this thing that my parents told me that they wanted me to do. So let's say mom and dad wanted me to be a doctor. I don't think that would have went well. Okay. Let's say they wanted me to be a doctor, and I focused, like, I would do it. I would accomplish it, and I would probably be the best at it. But I would be miserable. But I would be the best doctor. But I will be the best miserable doctor out there. Mm-hmm. And now I'm shifting my energy over to, like, I've established what I want. So now I can focus on saying yes to what I want and no to what I don't. And I can become the best at that.
Yep.
Bars.
That's good. I definitely agree. And I think just in general, I think there's a lot of people pleasers that ended up being the best at something, but I think the reasoning for why you want to be the best is probably different. So, like, you wanting to be the best to make other people feel a certain way, you can get there, but it's not gonna feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, or maybe it does to you. Hey, if you want to keep on people pleasing, you do you. But
I said
I'm on my journey. But yeah, I think the main thing is, like, you can be the best, but the reason for you wanting to be the best, it's about you, but it's not about you. It's about other people seeing you in a certain light. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can get there. There's people, the whole people in entertainment industries, the whole people in jobs, that's like, they got there, and they're great at that part. They're also just great at not paying attention to themselves. So, you know, it's give and take.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, but yeah, the other thing that I was gonna say that was not so serious was that one of my favorite parts is that I can actually do what I wanna do.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? Like, just actually understanding and being like, yo, wow, there's nothing holding me back. Like, if I really want, granted, there's consequences to everything, right?
But it's not holding
me back. Yeah, it's not. Nothing is holding me back. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If I wanted to go outside and hit somebody with a shoe, I could do it, right? But if somebody come back and slap me, you know what? There's consequences and repercussions. Mm-hmm. Every cause has an effect. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of the things, is like me realizing that I can actually do what I want in every aspect of my life. And I didn't feel like I could do that. I felt like there was things holding me back. Which, I mean, it was one thing, it was me. But I feel like there was things in other outside circumstances and situations and people that were, like, holding me back. Ah, these won't hold me back. But it's like, nah, it's just you. Yeah. It's like the one, it might be in a Kendrick song, it was like, it was always me against the world until I found it was me versus me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, I'm doing this to myself? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I had a thought that went with what you just said. Oh, in recognizing that I can do what I want, I had to realize I need to sit down and figure out what I want. Because I see, like, a lot of adults who, like, if you ask them, like, what are their hobbies or what they want in life, they don't really have an answer. Because most people aren't sitting down and thinking about this. Some people are, but most people, they don't have an answer of, like, what they like to do for fun, or what they want to do for fun, or what does life look like past this moment? Which, I mean, it's good to stay in the present, but it's also like, if you weren't here right now, what would you be doing? And me, I'd be making breakfast. I'm just saying.
On that note, it's time to give some breakfast.
Word. Do y'all have any final thoughts on your healing journey and life in general? How life has been on your healing journey?
My realization that's not so serious, but it's serious, is that I'm the artsy friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. You got to know yourself, know your worth, Ken.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I found out I had a big personality. Found that out on my healing journey. I didn't know, but. Mm-hmm. What's your last thing you want to leave the people with?
Last thing. Healing is a process. It could be fun. It can be hard. The choice is yours.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all out there getting y'all healing. Take your time. Don't feel like you got rushed through it, because it's just like an ongoing Mario game. It's going to be another level.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'll say one last thing to that. I'll say going through the healing process, the part that's really cool is you actually finding out and being able to operate as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the coolest part of it, the entire process.
That's so, what makes it fun.
Yeah, because like there's things that you didn't know why you were doing it, or like you might not even know that this thing made you unique, but now you know it and you're like, oh, okay, I know I can do this now. I know I got this skill set now. I know I have this thing that makes me separate, but cool for myself.
Oh, because so, I thought you was about to say separate but equal, and I was going to say, we need to wrap this up.
that's a topic for another day. But yeah, so I think it's really a cool process once you get a chance to know yourself.
Word. Well, thank you guys for joining us again for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast.
Gray. Yes.
I am Shakoya D.
Badman Breezington here.
It's your boy, Damani.
And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join the Patreon if you want to watch this podcast live and early, because we do record well in advance. We are back. We are back to doing that. But yeah, join the Patreon. But also comment below. Let us know what's your favorite part of your healing journey. What's your healing journey been like?
Are you healing?
Are you healing at all? Because you might not be. But let us know in the comments. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you guys. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. Also, check the description for all the things that we have going on. We got products. We have music. We have all of the things. And we just want to share those things with you guys so that we can continue to grow our channel. Like this video. Hype this video. And we will see you guys in the next episode. If you like this one, you will love the next one that's somewhere on the screen. Bye.
Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, give me another J.
Get out my face. Get out my face. Get out my.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.